Sports is slowly returning, and that's a good thing. NASCAR started over the weekend. Golf is back. Major League Baseball put out its lengthy rules about protocols moving forward. Things like no more bench clearing brawls, hitters charging the mound, no high fives, no low fives, no fist bumps, no spitting, no sunflower seeds, no chewing tobacco. Players will sit in the stands during games and stay 6 feet away from one another in the dugouts. It goes on and on and on. No back boys or back girls, of course, to help. Ideas about socializing, fraternizing, all kinds of things. It's a lengthy report, and it's an idea of how things are going to look probably across the board in sports, across all sports, as they rethink how do things get started again. Jay Adonde, longtime ESPNer, and now he's over at the Medill School of Journalism. One of my former classmates, in fact, at Northwestern, is kind enough to check in with us. Jay, how the heck are you? How you doing?
Good. Great to talk to you again, Anna.
It is good to talk. All
those years ago, at this call long ago, right?
I know. Oh, my gosh. A long time ago. You know, you and I were there back in the day. Was MJ starting his first run? I'm trying to remember. I don't even...
Yeah, so we caught it. And I don't know if you remember, but Phil Jackson was actually at our graduation in June of 1992. Right after they'd won their second championship, his nephew was in our class at Northwestern. And so Phil was there a few days after championship number two in 92.
So cool. I should have paid more attention to that. That's a wow moment that I wish I had been awake for or something. I don't know how I missed that. But what I didn't miss is you in Last Dance. You were being interviewed, as you often are in these kinds of things. I just, you know, hey, now that it's over, and Chicagoans, I mean, we really paid close attention to this, of course. The ratings were high here, and everyone's got their thoughts on it. One of the things that was sort of the publicity that came out in advance of it was people who like MJ may not like him when this is done, just to see how intense he really was. That certainly came through. I think many of us developed just respect for him, even more than we already had. I wonder what your thoughts are when you saw the whole thing come together.
I was interested that they were able to get so much emotion out of Michael, and I thought they did such a good job of eliciting strong responses from him in the interviews. When this is a guy who's been interviewed as much as anybody, and, you know, maybe not as much in the last two decades, but certainly in the 80s and 90s, this guy was constantly from the cameras. That's one of the things you get a sense from in this, is the constant surrounding of him by media and him having to deal with that day after day and the same questions day after day. And there weren't many new questions, I think, addressed to him in this, but you had the benefit of perspective, a little distance that allowed him to think about things a little more deeply, and you had the great device that they used of showing him what other people had to say and him watching on the iPad and then reacting to that. And that's what provoked some of the greatest responses and some of the most memeable moments in this. So I thought that was interesting that we could see a new side of him all these years later in the interview.
That skill, the way they filmed it and did that with him, it was just you saw his immediate reaction rather than a prepared reaction. Even asking a question isn't the same as seeing somebody else's comment. So it totally was. It was just such a great way to bring that out of him. I also heard that, as a sidebar, he was not in his real house, because a lot of us were saying, "Oh, wouldn't it be cool to tour that house? Look at what a spectacular house that looks like." But that he made him rent a house because he didn't want his house used for the documentary or the docuseries.
Yeah, and then so the director, Jason Ayers, said he had to go find a house that looked like it would be a place like Michael Jordan lives. I'm trying to imagine what it costs to rent a house like that, just even for a couple days to shoot the footage. I mean, this wasn't done cheaply. But again, every expense that they paid, I thought paid off.
Covering it, though, you were there for part of it, all of it, or any of it at all at the end there?
Most of it. I covered three of the six championship runs. So, you know, I got a good taste of it. So I was there for the 93, 96, and 97 playoff runs. And, you know, in addition to being here in Chicago, working at the Sun-Times 92, 94, and being here in Chicago and going to Bulls games and sitting up in the second balcony of Chicago Stadium from 88 on when I first got here to my freshman year.
Yeah, it was a cool moment in time. I thought they did an amazing job at just capturing it, that all of us who even people like you who lived through it wanted to watch this and really were deeply engaged. Let me ask you about something else, though, Jay, because I only got a few minutes here. But, you know, NASCAR started over the weekend. Golf is back. Well, you heard me talking about the Major League Baseball rules and how things are going to look. Boy, this seems like a big project to get this working. What do you think?
It does, but it does seem feasible for a sport like NASCAR or for golf, where there's little to no interaction NASCAR, my only concern would be the pit crew. But I think if they socially distance while their cars are out on the tracks, and then as the car comes in, you know, to sprint in and change the tires and refill the fuel and get out of there, and they're outdoors the whole time, of course, you know. So everything you read, those are all things that really minimize the risk of spreading the disease anyone has. And, of course, you would hope that they would have stringent testing for everyone involved. So I think those are all low-risk things. You know, football in particular, college football, can you bring 80 players together and have them be in such close quarters as they would have to be when they're playing the games? I guess you could have them spread out on the sidelines. I guess, you know, you have them meet in smaller groups when they're watching film. But can you ask them to do all that at a time when the students aren't on campus? And we're not sure, and I think it's looking unlikely that students will be on campus for the fall quarter. So I don't see how you could, in good conscience, ask your student athletes to put themselves at risk if you're not willing to put the entire student body at their risk.
So could they make it a thing where it's up to them? Would they do that?
I don't think you can do that, just because you have to remember, colleges, like most large organizations, it's so much about the liability. So even if you say, okay, this is at your discretion, are you liable if you're forcing or implying that they should put themselves at this risk, mm-hmm. especially in a situation where they're not being paid market value to do so? So college football, of all the sports, I think is in the biggest quandary right now.
It totally is. I'm sure you saw this. The president of our alma mater, Northwestern, Morton Shapiro, mentioned on ESPN that he thinks all Big Ten schools are going to suit up for football in the fall. That's what he said. He made that kind of clear. Like, look, we're going to get it going somehow, some way. Seems like, for the reasons you point out, that's a tough thing to be so sure about.
I do, and I think little Morty has been on the optimistic side of everything. So, you know, I could see him saying that, and you know, he's been hopeful, but I also don't think that he would do anything to put students at risk. And, you know, so far, from canceling graduation to, you know, it looks like the summer quarter is going to be completely online, I think he's ultimately gone with the side of caution. So I think ultimately that's what's going to happen. It's just, I don't think we're at the point yet where we can commit. And remember, there has to be about a two-month advance time, I think. This is a decision that's going to have to be made June or July about what they're going to do for the fall football season. So I just don't know if we can get there in order to have complete confidence that this is the safe thing to do.
All right. Well, stay tuned. Thanks, Jay. Good to hear from you.
All right. Nice to talk to you.
Jay Adonde, he's a long time with ESPN. You know his face, and he was around the Horn and also many other programs. He was at the Sun-Times for a while and also LA Times. Now he works at the Medill School of Journalism. He's the director of sports journalism there.